Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you were waiting to hear some good news? Some sweet words of mercy full of hope that would fix everything and make it all better? When the news finally came, they were cold, dark words etched in stone, and you had no choice but to pay the price. Maybe your parents told you that if you were going to say that word one more time, there will be consequences. And yet that word slipped out before you even realized what you were saying, and your parents were swift to enact the punishment. Maybe you realized that you were speeding, and so you hit the brakes, but not before that police officer noticed and gave you a ticket. Maybe you were pushing a deadline because you thought your professor would give you a little wiggle room, but when you didn't hand in that paper on time, you were informed you had failed the class. Maybe you were a bit careless and accidentally broke something that belonged to your neighbor, something you couldn't afford, and yet found out you were on the hook to replace it. Maybe you or a loved one received a diagnosis, and there was nothing the doctor said that they could do, that they were not able to cure it or to make the problem go away. In our reading today, we hear of an angel flying overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth. Now, this is following an image of the church triumphant, standing on Mount Zion, surrounding the Lamb. And so we expect to hear good news of the gospel from this angel, words of mercy full of hope, words that will fix things and make it all better. But that's not the kind of message that the angel has to utter. He says with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come." The hour of his judgment has come. Oh yes, there is salvation. There is one group of people who are saved, but there is a whole other group that is completely annihilated and destroyed, cut off and removed from the presence of God. For them, there are no more chances, all because of this news, this message, these cold, dark words etched in stone. That's the end of it. No more discussion. Yet this angel is only the first of three. The words of our reading today being the nicest. There are still two more angels with messages that come, one right after the other. The first angel's job is simply to announce the ending, that judgment has come. Fear God and give him glory. Yet as soon as the first angel stops talking, the second one opens his mouth and announces, though it's not part of our text today, "Fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great. Fallen are the enemies of God. Fallen is the one who made all the nations drunk on the wine of her sexual immorality." And soon as that second angel has spoken, the third angel comes with more pronouncement of condemnation. "If anyone worships the beast, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest, night or day." There's no negotiating. There's no chance to change your mind. When the first message of the first angel goes out, one is either kept safe or cut off completely. When the angels have spoken, the sickle is put out to the vine of the earth, and the clusters of grapes are gathered in the harvest for the great winepress of God's wrath, from which the blood of those condemned flows for 1,600 stadia. 1,600 Roman miles, the blood is flowing. This harvest is the final division between those who have been redeemed, those who are kept safe, having been made holy in their baptisms by the washing of their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and who have been kept in their faith in Jesus, and that much larger group from every tribe and nation and tongue and language who have remained in their polluted garments and of wickedness and have stained themselves by the sin and worshiping anything and everything that is not God. For them, God's eternal gospel is not good news. It is simply judgment. Two groups, one message. Are you in or are you out? Think about that a moment. What about your neighbor? Your cousin, your brother, your sister-in-law, your children, your spouse. Are they in or are they out? This message of the angel, it's so final. There's no more chances once this word goes out. This message makes us uncomfortable as it leaves no middle room. There's no wiggling. There's no third option for those who are nice yet don't quite believe in Jesus. There's no treatment to follow, no procedure that will fix things for them. There's no purgatory to give them a second chance. This sounds to us and to much of the world as unnecessarily harsh and judgmental and divisive. Especially in these days where civil discourse is out the window and politics are all driven by passion. Is the church then just another voice that speaks a word of hatred and condemns the world? No. You see, God is working in Christ in the gospel. That is the gospel. He knows that something is broken, something corrupted, something is not as it should be. And it needs to be fixed, not just fixed, restored, made new, made better. We ourselves groan, our bodies groan, and the whole creation groans with us. We cry out, "How long, O Lord? When will God finally come?" We know that redemption, salvation, deliverance, and restoration happens only in Christ Jesus. And apart from him is only separation and condemnation. In Revelation 14, it is too late. The verdict has been read. The report has been given. The sickle is sent into the fields. But here's the good news. The words full of mercy and of hope. Brothers and sisters, Revelation 14 has not yet happened. The message has not yet gone out. The sun has not yet fallen on the horizon. So there is still time. You see, God speaks to his apostle here, not just so that we can know the future, as if that alone would do us any good, but so that we can do something about that future today. This revelation was given in advance, given to us now today, so that we understand what God has in store, so that we can work while it is yet day, before the night comes when no man may work. This text is given to us now so that we can respond now, while there is still time, and so that this future, this future of judgment might actually be changed. I mean, think about that for a moment. This isn't just some kind of game plan that God plans to enact regardless of what happens. He tells us this now because his judgment will happen, but we can have an impact on who is judged. Because now is the time for the gospel to go out. Now is the time for the good news of Christ to be told. This revelation is given to push us as God's people to bring his good news to everyone. Three ways this might happen depending on where you are today. Three ways that the Spirit could be working through this message to push us into a new future. First, the end is coming. Some days it seems like it could be tomorrow, and other days it seems like it is far off in the distance. But it is coming. And when we are confronted with the unmistakable signs of the approaching end of the age and wonder where we will stand in the judgment, when we ask who will rescue us from this body of death, where is our confidence? It is in Christ. In Christ alone. For Christ, in Christ, is the good news. The wrath of God has been poured out on him. His blood flowed, and we have dipped our robes in it and have been washed in it and made pure and holy. We have been called to be his new people. We are the elect, the chosen. Thanks be to God, those cold, dark words are not for us. But a second way the Spirit might be pushing us today is to turn from our sin and repent. We who have been called to turn away from the rampant wickedness of this age. When the unmistakable signs of the end of this age comes, where is our work focused? I'm turning away. I'm walking. I'm living as a child of the light, putting off the works of darkness and the deeds of the flesh, and living as his new people. We live as his new people in hope. And then the third way the Spirit might be pushing us today. And here is where I'd like to focus us. When we are confronted with the unmistakable signs of the approaching of the end of the age, where is our work as a church focused? It is to reach those who have not yet heard the good news of Christ. I'm making known to the nations while it is still day. Christ, who is the light of the world, Christ, who is the only one who can deliver from the coming wrath, we have been given a warning. We know in advance what will happen to those who are not in Christ. And this message has been entrusted to us, to give to those who live as if there is no end, as if there will not be a verdict rendered. You see, the angels in our text from today have not yet come. And now we live as those angels, those messengers. The gospel is still finding its way out into the world through the church, through you and me, to our neighbors, our cousins, our sister-in-laws, our children, our spouses, and even to people we've never met before. You see, this word of God brings us new life. The ending need not happen for them. The end will come. Judgment will happen. But maybe God actually means what he says when he desires all people to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. We have work to do. All of this drives us to Christ. Where is the justice, we might cry, upon hearing the judgment? How can a merciful God do these terrible things? We know that justice has been placed on Christ. The wrath has been poured out on him, and the mercy is to be found in the shadow of Christ alone. Christ alone. That's what our ancestors in the faith, the reformers, cried out. And that is our cry too. Christ alone to a world that is lost in itself. For the end is near. And the end of everything, including the end of judgment, is Christ. To him alone be all the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.